the Bible when you're weary and blue. Why don't you read the Bible, brother? Every word is true. Take your troubles.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It's Monday, January 21st, 2018. It's Memorization Monday, part three, our third in a series of maybe 52, 100 future Mondays that we'll be studying Scripture together or talking about it, beginning a practice of memorizing specific verses in February. If you were tuned in last week, you heard my conversation with Robert J. Morgan. He's the author of 100 Bible Verses Everyone Should Know by Heart. I've had to since reorder 30 more copies of his book, so we do have some additions here, but a number of people called in and said we'll be picking them up soon. So
I have a feeling you're going to order more.
Yeah, I'm hoping so. I told them I hope we have to exceed 100 books, you know, one book for every Bible verse. And a number of friends have said I can't wait to start memorizing the Scripture and the practice. But for the next at least 2 weeks, 2 to 3 weeks, 2 to 3 programs, we're going to continue building the case, why Scripture memory is important, why it would be an asset, why it'd be important for you to have Scripture on your heart and mind, how it can improve your life, how it'll be a blessing, not just to you, but to those you come in contact with. Suddenly you'll find yourself with that word of knowledge, that insight that somebody needs because you say, hey, I was just working on this verse and I think it's something you need to know or hear about. And
God works that way.
Yeah, so if you missed my interview with Robert J. Morgan, it is archived at greatnewsradio.org, greatnewsradio.org. And those of you that signed up for Memorization Monday, there's a little form you fill out. It's very simple, but basically I have your email, and then I can send you updates along with these 100 Bible verses on a few sheets of paper, along with the leader's guide, and also if you want to print out the 100 cards, they're all set and formatted for you, so you can do that. But I have a great link, and it's all set in an email. And the goal is, I don't know if it'll be in February or March, or at some point we'll probably have a potluck or a gathering.
I'm not going to get off track.
We're going to talk about food, but we'll get together and have some fun with this and celebrate how God's using it in our lives, probably a special speaker and some testimony time.
Now, you said somebody is doing this with their small group or with
a group. Yeah, Jerry out in the food court. So They've been talking about it. He bought 5 or 6 books. I haven't gotten back to hear, have they launched it yet, or are they still working on it or distributing the books? But I know one family, they're doing his devotional bedtime reading with his sons and his wife, and so they're going to do this together.
I was very touched by your interview with Robert Morgan. Mm-hmm. I really was. He's a very humble spirit. I mean, he really felt that this needed to be done.
Right.
I loved it.
Yeah,
and he just did it.
And he's from some of your past stomping grounds.
Oh, yeah. He's from Elizabethton in Tennessee, Tennessee. That was about an hour, I think maybe an hour and a half from where I was born. And Johnson City, Milligan College is up there in that sort of Bristol, Johnson City, Elizabethton triangle.
Yeah.
So my middle brother went to Milligan.
So you knew that area and the people. And Karen, I forget, she said, small world. She and her husband Mike had some time in that area. I can't remember.
Yeah.
She worked with children or foster children or served in various ways.
I think she even was in Elizabethan, if I remember what she said. I'm not sure.
So small, he was a great, great interview, great guy. Like I mentioned, it is archived, but he's allowing the books to be basically $10.
That's great.
Us a discounted rate, and then the accessibility to these free resources. So I have all the links. So if you sign up at greatnewsradio.org, you can't miss on our front page. There's the 100 Bible verses, a picture of it in the studio, actually.
Yeah.
And then you click on the little link, and it takes you to this WooFoo form, and then you just put in your name, and if you need the book, and then you just fill it all out, and then I'll send you some of the updates that we're going to have in the days ahead.
Great.
But yeah, I'm very excited about it. I've been working on it just about every night. I read through 10 or so of the verses just to become more and more familiar. I won't say I'm a slow reader because I don't want to reinforce the negative thought.
Two
weeks ago, the very first chapter, as we think, the importance of setting the stage for your mind. I can do this. I can achieve this. The positive thinking.
Yeah.
And instead of saying, I can't do it or it's too hard for me, all you're doing is reinforcing in your mind that it's too hard for you. You don't want to do that.
Who is that famous person that says, you know, if you think you can't, you can't. If you think you can, you can.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
I mean, it's simple, but it's true. We know it's true. If you go around all day saying, oh, I can't do anything, I can't do, you just kind of get in that mode.
Yeah, and
if you go
reinforce
around, yeah,
that negative mindset.
Yeah, it's not like magic or hocus pocus. It's common sense.
Yeah. Yeah, and there's many proverbs. We talked about that.
Yeah.
And so, yes, it might be a little challenging initially, but like he said, can you memorize one word?
Right.
Then you can do two words.
I love that.
Three words. And just take baby steps. And, yeah, you're not going to maybe get it overnight. Mm-hmm. I'm still having trouble with Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. Mm-hmm. And then it's like penetrating of the
bone and marrow.
Bone and marrow. They, yeah. It says soul and spirit, and then the marrow and bones. And then the next one is the hard part where I'm going to look at it now.
Oh, you got it.
Yeah, joints and marrow.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But it is the judge of the ideas and thoughts of the hearts.
Ooh.
NIV, it's a different rendering,
sure.
But basically it really exposes your thoughts and
heart.
Well,
that makes you think, doesn't it?
And it's, I don't know. So anyways, that's just
power
a hard one
right
for
there,
me
though.
To get.
That's power.
Oh, I know.
It's
a great verse. So anyways, we can do it. It takes persistence. It takes time. Yes, you might have to do it 100 times or 50 times, but it's God's word. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's no loss here.
That's right.
I mean, it's never wasted
time.
Yeah, there's no downside. This is God's word. He wants us to know it. It says in Deuteronomy how important it is to have it on our minds when we wake up, when we lay down,
when we
sit at home, you know, give it to our children, you know, when we're walking along the road. This is God's word, and it's an instruction manual, but better yet, it's His love letter. It's His the words that He wants us to know and think about. It'll guide our lives. It'll improve our lives.
God's on our side. He wants to help.
Yeah, yes. All right, so we're going to have you, Lord willing, read two chapters.
Okay.
This one begins with getting Scripture into the memory.
Yeah. Okay, he's got a Scripture up here from Isaiah 28:13, the New King James Version. Precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little.
Hmm.
I love that. So this is chapter 2, getting Scripture into the memory. You'll never guess where I began learning the scores, hundreds really, of Bible verses that have filled my mind for about half a century. It was at Eastside Elementary School in Elizabethton, Tennessee. This small red brick schoolhouse was 2 blocks from my house, and I spent 6 happy years of my life there.
Mm-hmm.
Thankfully, the prohibition against Bible reading in public schools hadn't yet taken effect in my little town. I remember hearing about the Supreme Court decision in 1963 that outlawed prayer and Bible reading in public classrooms. I was 11 years old, but I recall how shocked everyone seemed at this discrimination against Christians.
Hmm.
But that didn't stop us, because we're in Tennessee, but that didn't stop us from memorizing Bible verses, aided by an intrepid gentleman who came once a week from the Children's Bible Mission. When I was in the first grade, I memorized John 3:16 and received a lovely little wall plaque as a reward. In the second grade, I learned the entire 23rd Psalm and was given a small New Testament. In the third grade, I learned 25 more verses, and I've forgotten what the reward was for that. It might have been a Bible containing both Old and New Testaments.
Mm.
In the fourth grade, it was 50 verses. Wow, fourth grade.
Yeah.
And in the fifth and sixth grades, we were presented with a challenging 100 verses per year. And if we learned all 100, we were given a free week at summer camp.
And he mentioned in our interview last week the importance, especially for children, to start memorizing, getting this word in their heart and mind, because it'll have a profound impact, maybe even 40, 50, 60 years later when they reflect back or it comes to mind. And there's something about putting Scripture verses in a child's mind that will forever, there'll be residual effects into the future.
I can vouch for that.
Yeah.
My father taught me Scripture verses to memorize since I can ever remember. I think when I first started to talk. Okay. The incentives have long since perished, but many of those verses have stayed with me for a lifetime. Through the years, I've consistently added to their stockpile. These verses have resourced my mentality. They have kept me from making many mistakes, from losing my temper on multiple occasions, and from committing sins that would have marred my soul.
Hmm.
They've given me encouragement during challenging moments, comfort during grief, peace amid alarm, and joy when the sun was obscured by clouds of confusion.
He's a good writer.
He is. I love
that. It reminds me kind of how you write, too.
Oh, thank you.
Good language.
Oh,
you know,
thank
easy,
you.
Flowing. It makes sense. It's interesting.
Thank you, Mark. See, I've got that paragraph highlighted in my book. I love that paragraph.
Yeah.
It's so true. These verses have also given me something to say to others on many occasions when my own words were uncertain or inadequate. Scripture has power that is supernatural. Yes, it is. Soothing, convicting, transforming, life-changing, timely, timeless, and eternal. Nothing beats having the Word of God stored away in the chambers of the mind.
This is only a couple chapters really in.
Yeah.
But this is when I was convinced, Lord, we have to do this on Mondays, do a program, maybe throughout the whole year. And he keeps building the case.
I know.
Stay with us for the next few weeks because you'll be convinced, like I was convinced, that
I'm
we
so
need
glad
to be
you
memorizing
were.
Scripture.
I'm so glad you were. I'm finding it harder now to commit new verses to memory. Our memories slow down as we grow older, but I'm still working on it. My view is this. If it's good for an elementary classroom in a mountain school in Tennessee, it's good enough for a philosophy classroom at the University of California in Los Angeles. Not long ago, I had an interesting chat with Dallas Willard about memorizing scripture. Dr. Willard is a professor in the School of Philosophy at UCLA and an outstanding thinker and writer. He's also a keen advocate of scripture memory. I asked him why he felt so strongly about it, and he told me that his life was shaped in large part by growing up in an environment that stressed engraving God's word on the furrows of the heart. I found that through scripture memory, the incredible treasures of scripture are not only just available to my mind, but they inform my whole being.
Amen.
Yeah, in a way that is a testimony to the substantial power of the Word of God, he said. Dr. Willard suggests memorizing whole passages instead of isolated verses, and I agree.
Okay, now don't get nervous, everyone.
That's right.
We're going to start little baby steps, little verses, easy to start out with, but that's the ideal, and I do agree.
We'll grow to it.
Get to know the whole context and more from beginning to end, but we'll be just working on small little segments of Scripture.
Memorizing miscellaneous verses is a good thing. But when I talk about memorizing scripture, I'm really talking about memorizing passages, whole psalms or long parts of the letters or the gospels, said Willard. That does something to not only your mind, but to your outlook. For me, anything that is going to be effective in spiritual formation or growth in grace has got to be holistic. It can't be a little side thing that you have a few scriptures memorized. A simple illustration is the 23rd Psalm. Many people have that memorized, but they don't allow it to inform their thinking and their acting by meditating on it as they should. Having it stored in your mind is a powerful treasure, a powerful resource for inner development. He added, it's also important for sharing with others, because it's strange how having long passages of the Word of God inscribed in your mind just brings outlines, insights, and ways of putting things that will inform your speaking, your conversation, and your preaching. That's the main thing I've found out by use, that there's power in long passages of the Word being committed to memory. Dr. Willard is right. When we layer one verse upon another, working our way through passages and memorizing Scripture contextually, we're more likely to interpret it accurately through the process of meditation.
Amen.
So consider the book you're holding in your hands or listening to a tool for locating 100 different passages to delve into, not just 100 miscellaneous verses. But the great thing about Scripture memory is you can learn long passages in small steps, one word at a time, one verse after another. You don't have to start with a long passage or even with a long verse. Just start with one word, the first word of the verse. Then add the next and the next, as Isaiah put it, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little. Isaiah 28:13. It's like painting the inside of your mind with God's colors, one brushstroke that time.
Isn't this great?
Yes, it is.
It is good.
I'm
all right.
So glad
we're going to jump right into chapter 2 because, you know, to get us memorizing in February.
Okay. I'm so glad you found this book, Mark. Lay up his words in your heart, Job 22:22. Chapter 3, getting scripture into the subconscious. Philip Turner, small town attorney, realized he was waking up in the intensive care unit of a hospital somewhere for reasons he couldn't fathom. There were machines and strange blinking lights and sounds. His body didn't feel right, and concerned faces hovered above him. He closed his eyes and tried to think. He listened to the electronic hums of a strange and sterile place, the beep, beep, beep of a machine he'd rather not have heard so close to his ear. It had been a balmy evening in Shelbyville, Illinois, and a friend had dropped by Philip's house, suggesting a nocturnal plane ride. Philip and his wife, Bobby, were game. They drove out to the town's small airstrip, climbed into a four-seater Beech Musketeer, and a few minutes later were airborne, looking down on their serene, sleeping town, recognizing landmarks, feeling like birds soaring through the moonlit darkness. A few minutes later, the runway lights came into view, and the passengers prepared for landing. That's the last thing Philip remembered. Later, he learned that the nose wheel of the Musketeer hit a power line, flipping the plane over. Bobby was thrown through the side window onto the ground, while Philip remained suspended head downward in his seatbelt with over 100 fractures. Mm. As he regained consciousness, Philip's mind was fragmented with scattered, confused images. Hours passed, and as his head began to clear, a series of thoughts suddenly came into his mind like brilliant shafts of light. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us. Who hath saved us not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace. Fear not, for God so loved the world. Is there anything too hard for me? These were fragments of Bible verses, but Philip wasn't a religious man, and he didn't go to church. He hadn't opened a Bible in years, and he had certainly never memorized any Bible verses. Or had he? Slowly, a few vague memories filtered into his mind. A little circle of red chairs, old Mrs. Wolfe with an open Bible on her lap, little cards, awards. As a 5-year-old boy, Philip had attended a Sunday school class, and the teacher had drilled them on Bible verses. Those who learned the verses were given prizes, but Philip had never earned any awards. He'd been a disappointment to Mrs. Wolfe. Yet down in the depths of his brain, those memory verses lay like dormant seeds, waiting for just the right moment to germinate.
Isn't this awesome?
Oh, it's incredible.
Yeah.
Philip and Bobby slowly recovered from their injuries, and in the process, they committed themselves to Christ and started going to church. Many years later, he recounted the story to me over the phone. He was enthusiastic about memorizing Scripture and about the need to plant Bible verses in the minds of youngsters of all ages. His life had been changed by verses he did not even remember having learned. Some people question the value of rote memory, and I'll admit that just memorizing words for the sake of words is of limited value. But Bible verses are not just words. We may not fully understand every verse we memorize, but the act of learning it pins it to our very short-term memories. From our short-term memory, it filters into our long-term brain cells. It sinks into our subconscious minds. And as time passes, the results can be dramatic.
Amen.
And always dramatically good. That's what I learned while listening to Mr. Turner tell me about the little circle of red chairs, about an old woman with an open Bible in her lap, and about the power of memorizing the most potent words in the universe, the verses found within the cover of the inspired Word of God. When we memorize a word, phrase, line, or verse from God's Word, it's like implanting a powerful, radioactive speck of the very mind of God into our own finite brains. As we review it or hear it spoken again, it sinks deeper into our heads. As we learn it by heart, it descends into the hidden crevices and fissures of our souls. As we meditate on it, it begins sending out its quiet, therapeutic waves of influence. And as the Apostle Paul said, we are transformed by the renewing of our thoughts. See Romans 12:2. That's why the Lord commands us in Proverbs 7, 1 and 3, treasure my commands, write them on the tablet of your heart. And that's why he promises in the first psalm that as we internalize his word and mull it over day and night, we'll be successful. Converting his logic into our lives, we'll be like apple trees planted by rivers of water, bearing fruit in season with leaves that don't wither. And whatever we do will prosper.
Gosh, I'm getting even more energized. I loved when I read it myself, I guess a little over a month ago, and then started the practice of looking at some of these scripture verses in preparation of sharing this. And now you're reading it again, and I'm like, and I've read some of these two and three times.
Yeah.
I just love these chapters. They make such sense. They build such a great case why we should have scripture in our hearts and minds. And then the importance of passing it on to children or our grandchildren. Oh,
well, you
everyone.
Were so energized. You still are.
Yeah.
You haven't lost a bit of it.
No,
but that day you came in, you're like, well, we've got to learn scriptures.
Yes. Oh, this is a great book, 100 Bible Verses Everyone Should Know by Heart by Robert J. Morgan. As mentioned, he was interviewed last week, and that program is archived, so you can hear firsthand what he had to say and why he wrote it and the importance of getting the Bible verses into your mind and heart. And for the next couple Mondays, we'll continue with readings, and then probably early February, begin the practice of working on a verse a week, and we'll talk about that verse, what's unique about it, why we should think about it, why we should know it. And he builds a great case of why he starts with Genesis 1:1 and then goes to John 1:1, and he gives tips on memorizing, and we can do it together. You can get copies here at the Great News Radio Center. They're $10. That includes tax and everything, $10. And if you sign up at our website, greatnewsradio.org, there's a link, you click on it, and then whether you want to purchase a book, and then we'll send you some great links, some verse resources, like where it's all printed out on three or four pages. And then if we're going to host some kind of special gathering here, which we're going to have some fun together with this, but not just fun. I mean, it's God's word. It's a no-brainer, everyone.
Oh.
Please stay with us on future Mondays, because I think you're going to be convinced, like me, that we should be doing this together or doing it on your own, just reading God's scripture and committing it to memory, letting it be something that you meditate on, think about, and then practice with your friends, family members, neighbors.
Well, God's using you, Mark. You've got so many people around you energized to memorize scripture. Thank you.
Oh, well, I'm excited, and I do think this is a God thing. I think he's so impressed it on my heart and convinced me right away to share it with everyone. That
thank you.
I hope you'll get enthusiastic, too, and join me on this Memorization Monday adventure. All right, everyone, get your copies here. Tune in, and we appreciate you being a part of our radio listening family, as this is Mark Burns and Marianne Simpkins with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you. Have a great day and night.